Do you know who Evan Ross is? Simon Bunn's baker. Okay. Oh, we are on. Thank you very much, Mr. Grantham. I will call the March 23rd, 2009 City Council meeting of Morro Bay to order. All council members are present. The mayor, however, is in Washington, D.C. with Mr. Algott, our harbor director, working for funds for our harbor. With that, let's go to a moment of silence, please. Thank you very much. The Mr. Adam Krause from the Sun and Bun Bakery was going to be our business presentation this evening. I don't see. Oh, you are there? Thank you very much. Would you do us the honor of doing the Pledge of Allegiance before you give us your presentation?
Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is my first time at a meeting. Do I just step up here? First off, I'd like to start with a very large thank you to whoever showed up and was involved with the Friends for Donna benefit over the weekend. It was a huge success. I really can't believe how much love and effort was put into that thing, and I'm very impressed with this town and what they did. And that kind of leads into the business that I have. I purchased the Sun and Buns Bakery from Donna almost a year ago, with no idea of what I was doing or why I was doing it. I went from a painting contractor to being a small business owner. I'm just right now trying to get over the shock of the whole thing. It's been pretty intense. I've gained a whole new respect for what people do in the small business and what they have to deal with. It is a 24/7. You are married to the business, and you get what you put into it, though. It's well worth your efforts. This business is has grown as a family business. Donna and Harold and Colin started Sun and Buns about 22 years ago here in Morro Bay, up where Sprouse Ritz was, and eventually moved down to the Embarcadero. And it has become a favorite, not really of the local people, of the Morro Bay people, but of people that come from the valley that are regular people that, you know, they can show up once a month and they'll tell us stories of the length of time and how their children have grown with this bakery and what their favorite products are and what memories they have of this place. And that's made us grown to love it as a family place and a place that gives families good memories and you know, just having them come in there and sit down and see the smiles on their faces and the new kids starting up with it. And hopefully we can stick around for the same length of years that Donna had it down there and keep it a successful place. Excuse me for that. Then I got to bust a move, though. This is my first meeting with you people. I'm a Cayucas kind of snob, I guess is what you'd call us. But I've really come to appreciate Morro Bay and the strength of the community and the efforts that people will put in to support everybody. You know, a new business comes into town and people show up and they do actually support you and tell their friends and try to make sure that you are successful. And I'm pretty impressed with that. I don't know a whole lot more to say. I'd appreciate seeing everybody in there. We do make good stuff. We're baking fresh every day. Got great ice cream and good coffee. So I'd like to see everybody in there. Thank you for your time.
Adam, could you just remind us of your hours and your location?
We are 8 to 8 daily, 8 to 9 on weekends. We'll extend hours an hour longer in the summertime. We're at 8:30 Embarcadero, across from the outrigger, right next to the chessboard in the community park. Below Dorn's, trying to center you all in here so everybody knows where we're at.
And besides cookies, you also do cakes and...
We're just getting back into cakes. Donna had a long history of doing cakes, and for health reasons, she started not doing them. We are trying to gain the experience, and we're doing basic cakes right now. But eventually, we want to get back into doing the custom cakes and all-occasion cakes, and yes.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that besides baked goods, you also have ice cream and coffee.
We have very good ice cream, and we're doing our best with the coffee. We don't have true baristas, but we have good coffee makers. Okay. So,
thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you so much.
Excuse me. With that, we have to hear from our department heads next. And Mr. Woods, would you like to go first?
Certainly. Thank you, Council. Tonight, the Recreation Parks Department has a couple of things to bring up. This Friday is our annual Dixon Halfley Spaghetti Dinner fundraiser, and that is put on by the Morro Bay Community Foundation, and also with the Morro Bay Recreation Commission, and a host of volunteers. I don't know if I've got a camera on me or not, but it's this Friday. It starts at 4:30. It goes till 7. Tickets can be purchased at the Morro Bay Community Center upstairs at the Recreation and Parks Department, and we've got great deals. It's all you can eat. Adults are $9. Seniors are $7. And we have a family ticket price of $26. So make sure you come out and support the spaghetti dinner. All the proceeds go to the foundation, which sponsors scholarships for our youth in sports and youth services. So it's a direct benefit for all the kids in the community. Secondly, you may notice we've got a couple of porta potties that are out by the Rock restroom. We've got a couple of minor problems out there that we're working on. It'll be closed temporarily on and off in the next few days, and hopefully we can iron things out. We're working with the Public Services Department, and I'm sure we'll get it straightened away before the big events that are coming up. And some of the big special events that we've issued permits to for the month of April include the Easter Sunrise Service out at the Rock, and that'll be April the 12th. We have Blessing of the Fleet, which is on the North Tee Pier on April the 19th. On April the 19th through October, on Sundays, you can go down to the Giant Chessboard, and we've got a belly dancing troupe that's down there performing, and that's at no cost. April 25th is a huge day in Morro Bay. It's the Kite Parade down the Boulevard, as well as the Kite Festival at the Rock parking lot and along the beach. So it is a wonderful time to get out and enjoy the outside. 26th of April, just be aware of, we also have a surf contest down at the Rock. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lots of things happening. So public services, Mr. Ambo.
Thank you. Just give you an update. There's a couple, three major things going on with us. You may have noticed that we're beginning resurfacing of Morro Bay Boulevard. That began today. We'll be doing tearing out old and dilapidated curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and doing ADA upgrades to the crosswalks. Later into about our third week, we will begin grinding one side of Morro Bay Boulevard, then overlaying and grinding the other side. The street will remain open at all times. And most of the time, they'll stop working at about 3 in the afternoon. Just, we have coordinated with the Chamber of Commerce, the Merchants Association. We went door-to-door and handed those handouts out that you see on the overhead screen. We're really happy and excited to finally get to this. The last time we were able to do Morro Bay Boulevard was in 1987, and we were able to put together some state funding for this. From 1B money, which was about in the order of $400,000, and the remainder, a small remainder of that, came from major Q funds. So we're happy to finally get to this project. We're going to do our best to minimize the disruption and inconvenience. They're badly needed improvements, but we are excited to get the roundabout done and then the remainder of the paving done from where that ended on Kern Street all the way down to Market. So we'll have a brand new street, curb, gutter, and sidewalk the length of that. Then we also are having, and Teresa's going to put it up, we're going to have a community housing workshop to talk about the latest changes in state housing law, discuss them with the community. And that will be this coming Wednesday at the Community Center Meeting Room from 5:30 to 7:30. That's this coming Wednesday, March 26th, the Community Center Meeting Room from 5:30 to 7:30.
Might that be Thursday?
No, it's Wednesday.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Okay.
Forgive me. You're right. Thursday, good. March 26th from 5:30 to 7:30. And that's just to talk about the changes that have occurred since last time we did a housing element update. But we encourage anybody to – we've extended an invitation to all the housing organizations and then the Building Industry Association and anybody else that would like to be added to the list. And we'll copy them. We've posted display ads in the local newspaper and the Tribune, too. And lastly, we are having a joint City Council Planning Commission workshop next Monday at 6 o'clock. That's our code requires us to do two of those. This will be the first one this year. As you may recall, that date was set back in January. And in the last couple of Planning Commission and Council agendas, you've talked about the items that you'd like to get at for that agenda, just to provide some feedback and check with the Planning Commission on what their thoughts are on that. Anyway, if you have any questions, be happy to answer them.
Thank you. And I know the merchants appreciate at least a single lane being left open on the boulevard while this construction happens, much-needed construction happens. And then, Ms. Luker, you had something to tell us from State Parks?
Thank you. Good evening, Vice Mayor and Council. Just to let the public know, on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, March 24th, State Parks personnel will be walking the neighborhood bordering Black Hill along King Street to distribute notifications of a burn plan for the following Wednesday. That's March 25th. On Wednesday, there'll be two CAL FIRE hand crews burning piles of dead wood material between Carmel and Balboa. And then again next week, State Parks and CAL FIRE plan to burn additional piles near South Bay Boulevard.
Thank you very much. Next, Council has presentations or announcements. Carla, do you want to start?
Good evening. Thank you. I just have a few things. I know that Chief DeRohan didn't have an opportunity to plug the Tip-A-Cop tonight, so I will. Friday, April 3rd. I just want to make sure everybody gets that on their calendar. $20 are the tickets for Special Olympics. So I just want to remind everybody of that and the citywide yard sale on April 4th and 5th. I attended the Integrated Waste Management meeting, and I was really excited to see on the list of the household take-back programs that we all participate in, Morro Bay ranked third highest in the household battery return, so that was pretty exciting to see out of all the cities in San Luis County. So we've done a great job with that. May 13th will be the first reading of a new take-back program for latex paints. And anywhere that you buy latex paints, you'll be able to take back 2 gallons from stores that sell it. So that'll be something that'll separate it out from having to return it to a hazardous waste disposal unit, which is where you've had to take it before. So now you'll be able to return it to a paint store or hardware store where you've purchased it at or somewhere that sells them. So that's going to be something that'll be a lot easier for people to return. So right now I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I did want to announce a low-impact development workshop that's going to be happening two nights at the end of this month. We'll be going on March 31st here in Morro Bay. That's a Wednesday night. Tuesday night. The event's going to be here. It's our formatted sustainability social where we combined education with fun live music, gourmet pizzas, local beers and wines, opportunity to network and learn about some of the things that are going on in the county. And this event is sponsored by Slow Green Build, Surf Rider, Sierra Club. And this is the, I think, the fourth now in a series of workshops, and this one will be focused on low-impact development. I'll actually be one of the presenters giving a slideshow about some of the things that we've done at Spencer's Market in North Morro Bay, playing with wildflower seed and mulch. So it'll be a bit of a slideshow showing the history of the lot there on the north side and some other simple projects that we've done. And then it'll also be included, Darla Inglis of the county's new low-impact development center will be the keynote speaker. So I'll be warming the stage up for her, and in between the different presenters will have the pizza and live music playing again. So that's Tuesday, March 31st from 6 to 9 here in Morro Bay. We'll probably have the band up here instead of the council, so that might be interesting to see. I always appreciate noticing the liveliness of the room with that adjustment. And it will be replayed again the following night on Wednesday, April 1st, in Atascadero at the Lake Pavilion. And if you're interested in more details, you can find out information at slowgreenbuild.org. And again, that's March 31st, 6 to 9 here. So I hope to see you out there. And again, it will be in Atascadero the following night. So thank you.
Rick? Mr. Grantham?
Thank you. Thursday, Betty and I attended the initial meeting of the 10-year plan to end homelessness in San Luis, and they covered how they want to structure their governing body and a discussion to hire a person to oversee everything and what their responsibilities would be as far as soliciting donations and contacting donors. They're also looking for land. There's about five places that they've identified. There's ups and downs with each place, but they're going to be working on that. Friday, I attended the Warden's Advisory Board at the prison, and there's some interesting things happening. As we talked about before, prior laws that we passed here in California, especially some things like three strikes, have increase prison stays significantly. So you find a lot of older people in prison now. When you have a lot of older people in prison, you have a lot of chronic disease and this kind of things, which are very, very expensive. There was, because of a court case, there was a federal receiver put in charge of California State Prison medical care. And just to give you an idea, if that receiver gets everything they want, which includes seven new hospitals for prisons in California, it would take the annual cost of housing an inmate from about $40,000 a year to $250,000 a year. So that's pretty scary, because California taxpayers are the ones that are going to be paying for this. There are things that they're looking at that they feel might level off the population. One is to decrease. Normally, an inmate gets released, they're on parole for 3 years. And when they're on parole, they have law enforcement has probable cause to search them, to question them, to observe their and monitor what they're doing. So there's a higher chance of them reoffending. So they're looking to take the parole down from 3 years to 1 year. And currently, if a guy is doing a three-year term, he gets day for day for good behavior, which means he would do half his term. Now they're looking at possibly doing two for 1 day. So instead of a three-year term, be doing a one-year term. Illegal aliens that are released from California state prisons will now be going through Homeland Security and being transferred upon completion of their sentence to San Diego, where they'll appear before a board, and that board will determine whether those people will be deported or not. We currently have 7,000 prisoners that are state of California inmates that are in other states' prisons. Because it's cheaper for us to do that, and it keeps our prison population down. But these people that agree to go to another state, and Arizona is one of them, and there's a couple like in Mississippi and in the South, these people have to get medical clearance. They have to be transported there. They the security involved. So that costs a little bit, but we're saving a few bucks by letting them serve their sentence in an out-of-state prison. One other thing, last Wednesday there was a prison riot at Kern Valley State Prison in Delano, where a group from Northern California didn't care much for a group from Southern California, and they decided to fight it out. One of the inmates from Southern California was stabbed to death. There were shots fired after pepper spray and rubber bullets were tried, and that didn't stop it. So the guards had to shoot four inmates. None of them were life-threatening injuries. There were 16 inmates injured in that melee. So the prison was kind of on heightened alert when I went there on Friday, because they didn't want the Southerners trying to get revenge on the Northerners. Plus, they were worried about attacks on staff, because staff had actually shot some of the guys. So it was kind of interesting. And I guess we could end it on a nice note. Went to the Cotton Ball for their 40th anniversary on Saturday. Judy Appel is the owner of the Cotton Ball. These people give tremendous customer service. They have a wonderful reputation. That's why they've been in business 40 years. And it was a real pleasure to go there and celebrate with them and their son, Rob, who works there, who's a very talented quilt maker. He does a lot of undersea stuff and wildlife things. But congratulations to them. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you for serving on that committee and taking some risks there, and to the rest of you for your reports this evening. I'll just mention a couple of things. On Saturday, I attended the Botanical Gardens. They have a little introductory meeting that they do a couple of times a month, and I would encourage anyone who's interested in gardens or botanical gardens that are located out at the Choro Park across from Cuesta College to go out or call and sign up to attend one of these meetings. They have fabulous plans in line. With $60 million in 5 years, they will be up to a world-class standard tourist destination that will rival any botanical center in the world. And they're very serious about it. They're very on target with it. And I think that as Morro Bay and the city of SLO are obviously on either side of that, it will be a great boon for our city, and that we need to become more aware and involved with this activity. And I hope someone will be speaking to the Garden Club announcement tonight. And if there's not, let me announce that the Gardens by the Sea, the 23rd Annual University Women's Garden Tour, will be happening April 26th. That's next Sunday from noon to 5 o'clock. There's actually 8 gardens that you'll be touring for $10. And you can get tickets from Miners or Coalesce or Volumes of Pleasure and Pacific Coast Home and Garden in San Luis.
Betty, that was April 26th, next month.
Thank you very much. It's a month away. Thank you both. Okay, I think that's all for our announcements. Mr. Schultz, you wanted to make a closed session announcement?
Yes. Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, council met in closed session to discuss all of the city's pending claims and litigation matters, including Wallach versus City of Morro Bay. As to all of the pending litigation matters and claims and that matter, no action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you. And then if I could ask council to pull A6 and A7 out of order from our consent agenda. These are two proclamations, and we have two people here to present them to. Someone would like to make a motion.
I move to pull A6 and A7 from the agenda.
Thank you. And Mr. Smuckler seconds that. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Susan from the Planning Child Care Center.
Thank you so much. Actually, I'm from the Sunshine Daycare. But the San Luis Obispo County Child Care Planning Council contacted me last week, and they said April is the month of the child. And we are looking for someone in Morro Bay to represent the children and families who attend small family daycares here in Morro Bay, not large centers or church organized daycares, but these are families who open up their homes to families who need daycare, and they chose the Sunshine Daycare, in which myself and my cousin Inez, come on up here, Inez. We own a small family daycare, and so on behalf of the San Luis Obispo County, County Office of Ed, we would like to make folks be aware of the needs of families and children of daycare. And so I would like to have the council get a chance to take a look at some of the faces of the children that come into our home each day and their parents. So could I have our daycare families come on up? Come on up. Come on up, you guys.
Let's see.
Oh, in Destin too?
I think he has.
Oh, okay. There's three young boys, probably around 2 years old, that couldn't sit still long enough. So they are here, but they are outside. So I wanted you to take a look at these children and families, and we really appreciate them, and they are part of our Sunshine Daycare. So thank you, everybody. Thank you. And we have some information on assessing the needs of the children here in San Luis Obispo County, especially in Morro Bay. So I would like to present to each of our council members, and I have one for our mayor who I understand is not here tonight. Two things that we're giving you. This is the assessing the needs of the children here in San Luis Obispo County. The little blue earmark talks about the needs of the children and their families that are specifically here in Morro Bay. And then we'd like to also give to each of your members a red ribbon, and this declares April, the month of the child, and they're emphasizing child abuse prevention. And we would like to invite not only folks here, but anyone from the public to attend the Children's Day in the Plaza in San Luis Obispo. And this is April 11th, 2009, in San Luis Obispo Mission Plaza. And this is to celebrate the Month of the Child. And that's also for our council members. And we all know about the needs of single moms in our county. We know about low-income families that have both moms and dads who have children. But very few words are really spoken on behalf of our single dads. And I would like to just have one of my parents who is a single
for a year and a half now, and I was working for a local tile company here out of town that went out of business. I went from working 60 hours a week to unemployment that fast. And for the first time, I went to EOC, or I called EOC and asked them, hey, can I get some help so I can have some opportunity to go out and look for a job? I've exhausted all my monies that I had saved up, paying bills. And EOC told me there's a year and a half waiting list for me to get any kind of help with daycare. So now I'm stuck. I mean, I can't go out and look for a job because I have a little boy to take care of. When I went to WIC, I'll tell you, I felt really judged going in there when this woman keeps telling me, it's women for infant children. Women for infant children. Well, what about the dads? You know, my struggles are just as bad as a woman's, and I feel like I'm not getting any help. And I'd just like to bring it to everyone's attention that the EOC or whatever state agencies or county agencies that are out there to take a look at the dads, too. You know, we could use a little bit of help. Seriously. I mean, I've lived here 3 years. I love Morro Bay. I don't want to ever move from here. This is where I want to raise my children. And I'm finding it really hard. And I feel like I'm a sinking ship. I honestly do. But I really do appreciate Susan and Inez and Susan's husband, Jesse. My son adores these people. I mean, he literally adores them. And thanks for your time.
Susan, if you could come back to the podium. So this is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay proclaiming April 2009 as Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month. And it states, whereas on Saturday, April 11th, we'll commemorate the Day of the Child, and whereas the Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month is a time to recognize children's opportunities and to commit ourselves to ensuring their high quality of environment, and whereas the City of Morro Bay recognizes that every moment in a child's life is an opportunity for the child to learn, whereas the activities of this month will provide an opportunity to acknowledge youth and early child care education, and may we remember to listen and to watch our children and have patience with them, we now therefore resolve that the City of Morro Bay is proclaiming April 2009 as the Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we are very proud to accept this proclamation.
And our second proclamation this evening is to Ruth Bianchi, if she'd step forward. This is a proclamation of the City of Morro Bay declaring April 4, 2009, as American Humane's, quote, Every Day is Tag Day. It states, whereas we have been endowed not only with the blessings and benefits of our animal companions, and whereas we realize that watching over these animals who are wholly dependent on us means providing more than food and shelter, whereas we recognize that as human beings we have the power to communicate with spoken and written language, and whereas they do not, and so providing identification in the form of an identification tag, license tag, microchip, or tattoo is the only way to give them a voice should they become lost. Whereas the welfare of the animals in our community is the undertaking of all pet guardians and animal lovers, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Morro Bay does here proclaim April 4, 2009 as American Humane's Every Day is Tag Day. Ms. Bianchi may present this to you, and I believe you have something to say to us as well.
I do. My name is Ruth Bianchi. Hello. As you have now heard, April 4th has been declared Tag Day by the American Humane Society, though in reality, every day should be Tag Day for our pets. Your pet does not carry a driver's license. He doesn't know his address or his phone number, and even if he did, he probably couldn't tell anyone. When your pet gets out away from your home without any ID, he becomes a stray. Indoor animals, like cats, also, as well as outdoor animals, share in the danger of becoming a stray, as they can easily slip out of the door without you realizing it. San Luis Obispo County now has a campaign called Join the Pack, with the goal of getting ID tags on every dog and cat in San Luis Obispo County. They would not have cost their owners fines to redeem them, and they would not have been at risk of being euthanized. No one expects his pet to get out, but it happens all the time. If your pet is not wearing ID, it can be taken to animal services. If the shelter is full, then another animal is euthanized to make room for your pet to be housed until you redeem it. Worse yet, if you do not redeem your pet within 5 days, your pet could be euthanized. A simple ID tag is the best insurance to make sure that your pet will never wind up at animal services. It's easy. Tag them if you love them. We need the community to be involved in our campaign. Please join us in this grassroots effort to get IDs on all pets in the county. If we all work together, we can solve the problem of unnecessary euthanasia once and for all. This simple step will keep our pets safe and where they belong, at home. It's the responsible thing to do as a pet owner. If you would like information on Join the Pack, and if you want to become involved, you can contact us at www.jtp-now.org. That's www.jtp-now.org. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the proclamation.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruth, for the awareness that you've brought to us with regard to the animals, and for Susan, who did with the children, and the plight of our single male parents. It's now time for public comment. I remind you that traditionally we tend to line up on your left side of the wall, and you have a maximum of 3 minutes, if you would honor that, please. And Mr. Weissman, are you first in line? Okay.
My name is Lily Stewart, and I have been a resident of Morro Bay for 18 years. And I am currently assistant directing the high school production, which is a musical called Lucky Stiff. This is the poster. And we've been working incredibly hard on this musical since the very beginning of January, every day after school and sometimes on the weekends. And I'm here to let you all know that we will be performing it this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. Admissions are $8. And just really quickly to summarize the plot, it's about an English gentleman, well, not quite a gentleman, he's a shoe salesman, and he's got a rough life. He's living with a landlady, and he doesn't like any of it. Lots of dogs, lots of pain. And so one day he inherits $6 million from an uncle he's never met who lives in America, but he has to fulfill the conditions of his uncle's will in order to get the money, which are to take his uncle's body to Monte Carlo and show him a good time. So this musical is about the experiences the Englishman has in Monte Carlo with gambling and loose women and some fun with a person from the Universal Dog Home of Brooklyn who wants to get the money too. So it's a great production. We've worked very hard on it. And so please come see it. We love to have community support. Thank you very much.
Would you like to leave your poster on the overhead?
I would love to. Can I just put it up here? Thank you.
Good evening, Council. David Weissman coming before you this evening as the Outreach Coordinator of the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, though I do so with great trepidation. Having spent 10 years working in Hollywood before moving to Morro Bay, I can tell you one adage that has always proven to have been true, and every journeyman in the Tinseltown knows this. Never attempt to follow animals and children. It's just not possible to upstage them. Anyway, in 2006, the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, of whom I represent, appeared before this council asking for your support of AB 1632, legislation by our own Sam Blakesley, which required the California Energy Commission to do the first ever full cost-risk-benefit analysis of continuing to rely on nuclear power. That bill passed. The study was done. The study recommended many things. Among them was increasing the seismic studies of that site. Well, wouldn't you know it, on the morning the study was announced, coincidentally, PG&E announced that a new earthquake fault had been found 1,800 feet from the front gate of Diablo Canyon. Mr. Blakesley offered roughly 30,000 cancellations for room reservations, said city officials on Friday. According to the tourism office, sales at beach houses equipped with lodging in the city are at about 10% of those in a normal year. even though there was no damage to the facilities from the quake, they suffered massive cancellations, with roughly 80% of the tourists citing concerns over radiation leaks. As the former chair of the city's promotion committee, I am no doubt aware of the vagaries and fluctuations of our tourism to external events, anything from September 11th to a spike in the gas prices. Therefore, I do not think we can be any too unconcerned about the potential for seismic danger. And so once again, would ask that this council please consider agendizing and supporting Mr. Blakeslee's AB 42 as it moves forward in the California House. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Council. Colby Crotzer, resident in Morro Bay. Good evening, staff, particularly rank and file. It's a pleasure seeing the Vice Mayor presiding. He looked very good there in the center. The Mayor being away on that D.C. junket, I think, is another example of what I lamented last time I was before the Council of the wasted funds in the city. We know that we have a paid lobbyist in Washington, D.C. to do that work. And matter of fact, our council member, our Congress member, Lois Capps, has already obtained the money for the dredging, an essential service to keep Morro Bay safe and open. It must be fun to go there and lobby the, do whatever you do in Washington on the city's dollar. I think it's a waste of money myself, and I did when I was on the council. Back to the issue of money is available and wasted in the city of Morro Bay. That project in Del Mar Park, which $150,000 of our local tax money was dedicated to while I was on the council, supported by a number of 300 probably separate signatures, which are on file in the Parks and Rec Department. Those $150,000 would join by more than $300,000, I believe, in grant money from state bonds that we in California voted for. Well, that money, somewhere close to $500,000, and perhaps our city manager, Ms. Luker, having been Parks and Rec Director at the time, could offer details. You could invite her to do that, about how close to $500,000 was available to build those tennis courts. But it was going to be a stimulus. It would provide work and certainly an attraction for our hotelers who are in favor of this project to be able to offer another amenity to the visitors to our hotel rooms. Well, another example would be Brannigan's Reef and the other properties that were secured when I was on the council. None of those properties were ever sold for less. In fact, they were, when turned over, when another property became more appropriate to the use, they were always sold at a profit to the taxpayers in the city, so hard to complain about that. The fact is that I'm afraid that particularly Brannigan's, having been attained really to serve as a public commons here, on the recommendation of Cal Poly architects and whatnot, that what would make Morro Bay a much more attractive site for tourists would be a public place there. I'm just afraid to see that and other properties and other assets that the city owns here will gradually be whittled away and wasted, paying for particularly department head salaries. And seeing the yellow light, I think I'll stop there. You might invite me back for another time to elaborate more on that point. Thank you.
Good evening, Council. Hank Roth, Morro Bay. I just wanted to let folks know that we're going to be having, next month, we're going to be having our Citizens Police Academy. It'll be starting April 23rd, and it'll run 9 consecutive Thursdays through June 18th. You know, crime prevention is a joint effort between community and law enforcement. The Academy will provide insight into police practices and the variety of services that we as a department provide. The Academy is designed to provide knowledge and a clear understanding of how the Morro Bay Police Department operates and how, working together with the community, we can make Morro Bay a safer place to live. Again, it'll be starting April 23rd. Applications are at the station, or you can give me a call at 772-6228. Hope to see you there. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Pearl Munak, and I'm here as an individual. I live in Paso Robles, but I am inviting the city of Morro Bay for the state. It's bad for the county, it's bad for the cities, and it's bad for the nonprofits because they have to spend all this money on providing homeless services, and they still can't get people out of homelessness because their income is not enough to pay both rent and food. So I have contacted our state representatives and asked them to do this, but I'm just an individual, and I think that it would be more effective if the cities and the county would do the same. The state, and I don't mean just the state government, but the state government's missing out because of the income that's being lost to the food industry and to the agriculture industry because they can't get the food stamps, and so they don't have a good diet. So all of that food is not being consumed, and it would be very helpful, I think, to everybody. So is that, anybody have any questions? You know, eligibility for food stamps is by household, so not all SSI recipients would be eligible. It depends on, but if they're living alone, they certainly would. Okay.
Thank you. I'm a prop person. Thanks, prop person.
Good evening, Council. Thank you for taking my comment. My name is Joan Solu, and I'm here before you this evening kind of as your child fundraising advocate for Morro Bay. I'd like to first announce that the major fundraiser for the Morro Bay Community Foundation is this Friday night, and I really hope to see all of you here, along with all of you out there, over there, at the Community Center for the Dixon Spaghetti Fundraiser. It's a wonderful community event. The Morro Bay seniors are instrumental in helping us out, and we are so grateful to them. The funds raised for that go to provide scholarships for recreation and parks programs, for kids who need financial assistance in order to enjoy those programs. It is a very worthwhile cause, and I really do hope to see you there. Secondly, I would like to say that Del Mar School, our only elementary school and a California distinguished school, will be holding their fundraiser on Sunday from 1 to 4:30 in the multipurpose room. In addition to that, they're having a chamber mixer and an art auction preview. This work of art that you see before you was put together by Ms. O'Brien's sixth grade class. It is the Tree of Life. Each child was given an individual square of wood that they sanded and brought to fruition before you. The parent artist on this craftsman was Roger Haas, and I worked on it, and Ms. O'Brien worked on it with the children to get it to this point. In addition, I wanted to show you a beautiful self-portrait pillow that came out of a kindergarten class that was sewn by the world-famous Rob Appel and his wife at their home. With fabric from the Cotton Ball and help from our community, we are able to produce such wonderful things. And the lovely Ms. FL's second grade class has done some clay sculpting and have made individual clay fish. There are art projects from every class. Some are a multitude of kids coming together to create one large product, like the first one. Others are individual art projects. We have many goods and services from all over the community, including a dinner at the firehouse from our wonderful firefighters. We have the Ride of a Lifetime. Councilman Smuckler has doing pizza for 30, a pizza party for 30, and that's going to live auction. And our wonderful Carla has given us a gift certificate from her restaurant, and we are so grateful to our community. I'm going to leave these so you can look at them during your break. And I just thank you so much, and I really do hope to see you there at both of them.
Good evening, Council. My name is Rick Gilligan. I'm a Morro Bay resident. After you've all gone around and supported the annual yard sale in Morro Bay and made sure that you have a tag on your pet, we invite you to join us for a discussion on The topic, a year-round community aquatic center on the North Coast, how we can make it happen. That's coming up also on Saturday, April 4th. Looks like a busy day. From 1 to 3 p.m. at the Morro Bay Library Program Room. That's at 625 Harbor Street. This is an opportunity for community input, an opportunity to learn what is necessary to make this dream a reality, as well as to introduce you to the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation's plan. This event is sponsored by the Morro Bay Friends of the Library and facilitated by the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation. We encourage you to come out and bring your friends.
If you have any questions, feel free to call our office, 543-0875. And that's pretty much it. I brought some flyers. I don't know where to put them, but...
Do you want to put them on the table and we'll see that they get passed around? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Melody Demerit, former member of the council and now a member of the Morro Bay Kite Festival Parade Committee. And when I went to the meeting today, I was told some news that the paving might not be done on Morro Bay Boulevard in time for the kite parade on April 25th. That's not good. And so I would like, after all this public comment, that Mr. Ambo could assure the council and the public that we can have a Morro Bay Kite Festival parade on schedule April 25th, a Saturday, with a nice newly paved Morro Bay Boulevard. The other thing I have to say is I turned on the television and I saw you sitting in the middle, Ms. Winholtz. And I just have to say that it looks really good on you. I think most people know that we've been politically aligned, but not everybody knows that you are my best friend and that I believe that you're the most egoless, big-hearted person I've ever met in my entire life. And I would say this, since I've got a minute, and I didn't have a whole lot of other things to say except a cool round about Betty Winholtz, but I know that the current mayor agenda is this idea of going for a four-year mayor term, and I just think that that is anti-democratic in so many bad ways, and I will be there that night to talk to you all about it. But what we really need to do is to head to a system that would provide each of you the opportunity to sit in the middle of this table, that Carla could run the meetings and Noah could run the meetings and Rick would run the meetings. Several other communities on the Central Coast use this. I think it's called Pro Tem Mayor. They use this system. And what it does is it brings more people to the table at the mayor's meetings, Council of Governments meetings. It brings more people with more ideas to all of those tables. And so as you're looking at that, please don't extend that term to 4 years. Imagine who could have had 4 years just recently. And instead, really start thinking about changing this city government to become more interactive, more democratic, and have a pro tem mayor like even poor old Atascadero has one. And Betty, you're the best. Thank you.
It looks like that's all the public comment, unless there's someone else would like to speak for 3 minutes or less. Okay, thank you. I would like to clarify, the statement was made earlier about public funds for the trip to Washington, D.C. We'll just clarify that our fishermen's organization paid for that this year and has for the last couple of years, fortunately, so the city does not have to. I don't know if Ms. Luker or Mr. Woods wants to speak to the tennis courts with an update or not.
I'm happy to speak about an update about the tennis courts. Unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, we're here to give you the actual information. The council funded some time ago $150,000 of general fund money for the tennis courts. To date, we've spent between $30,000 and $40,000 of that on plans, specifications, doing some modifications for the irrigation system. The remainder of that general fund money is in an account to build the tennis courts. It remains there, and it will remain there. Secondly, the department was successful in an extremely competitive grant process, the Roberti Zieber grant process, where we were awarded $283,000 for building those tennis courts. Unfortunately, with the state's financial situation, that money has been frozen. However, we have not been notified that that money is not available. We are expecting to get that money, and when we do get that money, the courts will be built. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Rambo, do you have a feel for the street, or is there an alternative route we'll be using?
Well, as I indicated earlier, the street will remain open at all times. We have given the contractor clear direction to have it done by the Friday before then, because this is the only period of time when we can get this work done. We expect the paving itself to only go 2 to 3 days. A lot of the other work is stuff that involves curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and the Americans with Disabilities Act upgrades for accessibility. So the actual, probably some of the most disruptive work will be the paving, which will only be 2 to 3 days at the end of the project. And then after that, that means we'll finish all the flat work, and then it'll take about another 3 weeks for the street to cure before we can put the pavement markings on it. But the surfacing and the majority of that should be 99 to 100% complete by that time.
So you're feeling confident the parade will occur as normal?
Well, as long as we don't have a lot of rain or unnecessary delays or disruptions that are beyond our control.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that, if there's no further comment, or I'm sorry, would a council member like to make any responses?
Regarding the...
I will ask the public to indulge the council for 1 minute while we deal with our consent agenda items. We believe that there is no one that's interested in pulling any item. Is that true, council? Okay, then could I have someone that would approve items A, 1 through 5 and 8?
Moved.
Second.
Thank you very much. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those say no. It passes. Thank you. And so now we'll move on to our public agenda items. We will start with item B1, which is the Master Plan Amendment Special Use Permit, Coastal Development Permit, to designate and approve a one-acre area within Del Mar Park for the use of an off-leash dog park. Mr. Rambo?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. I'd like to introduce Ms. Teresa McClish. She's the contract planner that worked on the dog park application and proposal. She'll be giving the staff report. I believe Joe Woods, our Parks and Rec Director, is the applicant, and he's available for questions if you have them, too. Thank you.
Good evening, Council members. Tonight before you is a project that includes three components. The project is the designation and improvements for an off-leash dog park. Is that better? In the existing Del Mar Park. Just a little bit of project background. There is an existing MOU that this council has approved with the Morro Bay Pups organization that was approved in April 2008. The Recreation and Parks Commission recommended approval of the Master Plan Amendment to the Recreation and Parks Facility Plan in June 2008. This is a component needed for general plan consistency. A resolution was adopted by this council in August 2008 supporting establishment of the off-leash dog park and direction to process the appropriate amendment permits and the environmental review. That has been conducted. The Planning Commission has reviewed this project and has considered a mitigated negative declaration and recommended approval of the Master Plan Amendment, the Special Use Permit, and the Coastal Development Permit, which are the necessary permits for this off-leash dog park. So in your package, you have the amended language. This is an older plan, the Parks and Recreational Facilities Plan. So the amendment fits into the existing improvement priorities for the Del Mar Park. The specific use permit and coastal development permit for the actual development of the off-leash dog park includes essentially the project description. The project area is about 1 acre. About 0.8 of that is the fenced area. The project description includes the 50-foot setback provision from the creek. It includes the American Disability Act requirements for the pathway and entry, double entry grates for safety, and rules governing the park. And the MOU regarding the development and operation of the park will be forthcoming as a second MOU to make sure that's developed in accordance with this permit. So the Planning Commission did hear this earlier this month. They did have some recommendations to amend the conditions. These had to do with making sure there's long-term provision for MIT dispensers at Island Street and Ironwood parking lots, the rules and regulation governing the leashing and unleashing of the dogs in and outside of the park. There was some discussion about the provision that we have a check on to see how the park has been running after 2 years of establishment by the Parks and Recs Committee, and then that the Recreation and Parks Director review some alternative fencing design. So you can see that the proposed project site is in the existing Del Mar Park, adjacent to the proposed site for the forthcoming tennis courts. Here you can see the segment of the park as provided for in this amended Parks and Recreation Facilities Plan, making room for two additional tennis courts between the Chevron property to the west and the courts to the east, the creek to the north side, and then the rest of the park area, including picnic areas and play areas, to the west. The site plan is in your packet, as shown here. Again, the 50-foot setback.
Good evening, Honorable Council. My name is Steve Eckes. I'm the representative of Morro Bay Pups to the city. It would be appropriate tonight for us to begin with a round of thanks. First, I'd like to thank the council for expediting this project. Although we struggled through with you the period where we had little planning staff for some months towards the end of last year, it has been an extraordinarily fast ride here in the last 3 or 3.5 months. The staff has been very, very attentive to this project and very helpful in every regard. I'd particularly like to thank Teresa and our special thanks to Joe Woods, who's just been terrific to work with, and we anticipate we'll continue to have that kind of cooperative relationship as we get ready to build this park. We unconditionally support the staff recommendation this evening. That's a good thing because they've got a lot of conditions on their approval. Of course, many of them we are not any problem for us at all. Others pose some challenges, but this is a park that's long overdue. Its time has come, and we're going to build a great park together. We look forward to the prospect of this park being named in honor of the Jody Giannini family, with their extraordinary generosity. We, a few weeks ago, passed the 75% mark in our fundraising, and with the additional generosity just this weekend of Morro Bay Beautiful, we're now past 80% of our fundraising goal, and we anticipate that we will achieve that goal within the next several weeks. So we don't think that funding is a problem, we're ready to build this park. There's much work to be done. Some people think this park is either already under construction or it's already built, and they come out to Del Mar looking for the dog park. It's not. There's a great deal of work to be done. We have submitted, in fact, some time ago, the MOU for construction and maintenance. Staff is reviewing that now, and we anticipate having that worked out in the very near future. There's more money to raise. There's a specific construction planning to do, and then there's contracts to be worked out for the construction. We hope to use the California Conservation Corps as much as possible. We feel that we owe to the folks who have donated to this effort the very best that we can do to spend that money very efficiently and get the most for it we can. but it's going to be done in a first-class way and with the approval of the director every step of the way. So thank you again. We look forward to helping build this park and have something on the ground this year. Thanks.
Is anyone else eager to step forward? I'll bring it back to council if not. Okay, thank you. Mr. Woods, is there anything that you would like to say as the applicant?
Certainly. Good evening, Vice Mayor and Council. The off-leash dog area has been a concept that's been around for a while, even though we've expedited this process in the last, as Steve said, the last 3 or 4 months. It's gone rather quickly, but the concept's been around since 2001. And getting it to this point is certainly puts a smile on a lot of faces. The Recreation and Parks Department has supported this off-leash dog concept since its inception, and we also support the Del Mar Master Plan Amendment, which includes this off-leash dog area. Staff's been working very successfully with the Morro Bay Pups, as we were directed by council, and specifically the current MOU that takes us through the permitting process and up to tonight's agenda item. Staff agrees with the report that the planning department's put together, and we definitely support the relationship that the city and the Morro Bay Pups have partaked in. We're also looking forward to working with them as we approach the construction and the maintenance stages of this project. And we look forward to getting a park out at Del Mar for the community. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Council? Do we have questions or comments? Mr. Grantham?
Thank you. On page one, last paragraph, the only thing that stuck out to me, Joe, were the hours of operation on this, stating 7 a.m., and I think
some literature or a condition that directs any automobile traffic in the future within publications promoting the dog park to utilize the Ironwood Avenue approach to the park, the southern approach, and that we just include that. I know it's not a very common thing for the city to do, but that we include that so it follows the life of the facility and make sure that we continue to do that. And I know almost at every step of the way, each body has identified that as something that they'd like to see. So that was an additional condition that I felt the Morro Bay Pups group and staff were comfortable with as a potential condition. I'd like to bring that up. The other thing along the lines of the visibility and noise buffer would be to extend the planting on the north side of the park in the buffer between the existing riparian zone and the fence line. There's about a 50-foot space there. It's basically a request at this point. Joe and I have had a good conversation about that, and I'd like to request that the park planners working through the Morro Bay Adopt a Tree program extend the planting there with some larger trees that would help us buffer the noise and visibility of the park itself, but also to make sure that the additional potential nutrients and runoff from the site don't have any chance of getting to the creek itself. And I think some additional tree plantings there would help us adjust that. And what everyone seemed to agree with is that space is not really inclined to be utilized that much. It's basically a 50-foot space of not much. Yeah, it's kind of the overflow zone for the creek, and we still leave plenty of open space, grassland to the east there. So those are my two main comments to it, and otherwise just wanted to say that I think this is a really amazing example of community and city participation, and I'm just impressed that this has been able to get done, and I am very supportive of us continuing to expedite this process and move forward with it.
Thank you. Ms. Borchard?
I'm very happy with the project as it's been presented, and I would be willing to support Councilmember Grantham's suggestion of the time change. I don't think it's unreasonable. I can respect that there is a residential difference in the location here, versus maybe perhaps rural areas that the dog parks are, would otherwise be located where we're in the city limits here, and being insensitive to the surrounding houses. 8 o'clock is an unreasonable, and sunset I think is still fine with the rest of the park standards. And as far as the tree planting, I don't have an issue as far as where we route the traffic per se. I think that there's a little bit of a balance on Island or Ironwood. I don't know that we need to condition necessarily them making the literature say Ironwood. I think it's a great suggestion, but I wouldn't necessarily support it being a condition. I'd like to see it balance out a little bit between the two neighborhoods so it's not all pushed Ironwood. They already have churches and things, so there's already a lot of impact to that street with the traffic on Ironwood coming up there. So, but other than that, I think it's a great project.
Mr. Schultz, before we go on, this is a land use decision. Do we need to do any declaratory about who we've talked to, or this is?
Yes, you should. Yes, it's one of our own city projects, so it's a little bit more, a little different than your typical one. But if you've had your ex parte communications, you should declare those.
Okay. I'll start and say that I have not recently. We did several months ago, but it's been a long time. Ms. Borchardt, anything to declare?
I've talked with, Ms. Giannini, and I just spoke with Mr. Eckes.
Okay.
I've also spoke with Mr. Eckes, and I guess almost every member of the Morro Bay Pups throughout the last couple of months.
Okay. Mr. Grantham? And I would just mention that we received a letter today from a resident on Island Street today urging us not to have this location or to some way condition it so it wasn't so impactful. So I'll bring that forward as a memo that came to, or a letter that came to all of us. But I myself have not spoken with anyone.
I guess I should add that I joined the Morro Bay Pups.
Okay. Good job.
Did you eat a hot dog?
Okay, we have, it sounds like we're pretty satisfied with the staff report and with the applicant's pleasure of the proposal as is, and with the conditions that Planning Commission put on it. No one seems to object to any of those five changes. We probably do need to talk about the hours and the planting and the vehicular advertising or noise ordinance to start at 8 on the weekends instead of 7. Maybe we could just do an 8 across the board every day. Could you live with that, Mr. Grantham, rather than 9?
I just feel that for the peace and quality of life for the people that live in such close proximity to it, I'd like to stick with the 8 during the week and the 9 on the weekends.
Okay.
I think there's a pretty good buffer with the creek and the trees and things there, especially if they're going to be putting trees in the area. I think there'll be a pretty good noise buffer there, you know, in between.
So are we speaking towards 8 o'clock then?
I'd be fine with 8. I mean, I'm inclined to follow Noah's lead that I think people will be respectful of it. I think 7's too early.
Okay. Well, I like your suggestion of matching it with the construction hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, during the weekday, that would be early at 7. So maybe if we just said 8 across the board, sorry, Mr. Grantham, that we could the weekends would match that way for sure.
Okay, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, so whoever ends up making the amendment or the motion, would you please note that? And then in terms of the advertisement, I know that we talked about this several times and to kind of honor the Island Street people, that we would direct traffic to Ironwood because it is not as residential as Island is. I don't know who that information needs to go to, if it needs to go to Mr. Woods or if it needs to go to the Pups Club. But that we do, I think, want to push that direction. Is that just me, or do you all feel that?
Well, I happen to live in Ironwood, and I live about 4 houses from the entrance of the park. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, it's like a racetrack because people are trying to get to church on time, and they sometimes leave a little late, and they make up for it going down Ironwood about 35, 40 miles an hour. So that's... You know, and that happens about 10. Mm-hmm.
So Ironwood's already getting a lot of traffic from the garden, from the church, from people going to the park. So to tell everybody to take Ironwood, I think that's not a very good idea.
Okay. Comments over here?
That's what I was trying to say. I think it should be balanced.
More be balanced?
Okay. Yeah. I just offer maybe both balance it out a little.
Okay. In my conversation with Mr. Woods, it was pretty obvious this isn't going to be a major issue. There's not going to be a lot of publications and promotion of this, but at the same time, when you look at the facilities to transport people along Ironwood or along Island, it's really tight along Island, and there's quite a bit of pedestrians and families in that area. So I would shy away from directing the general public that might be learning about the park through publication and not exactly live here, because I think the majority of people that go to the park have their path of transportation already identified, and they're comfortable with it, and they're not going to change it. But if we do have any sort of promotional literature that goes out, I would be uncomfortable with sending people from outside of the area to the Island Street, just because of the number of families that live in that area and the size of the street over there.
It sounds like we're kind of split on this item, so I guess I'd like, Mr. Woods, you want to say something?
I would certainly like to. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair, Vice Mayor, pardon me. The conditions in which you're addressing right now are under number 11, which are posted rules and regulations that may be included, and this is a list that may be. It's not an exclusive list, and it's not a mandatory list. It's something that staff will be reviewing as we look at all dog parks within the county, how their rules relate to their operations. We've got professional publications that have extensive articles on dog parks. So we're reviewing all these rules and regulations and applying them to our specific location at Del Mar. So the hours of operations, though they may be stated here at 7 to dusk, it may be that we learned through our research that 8 o'clock is the best time. And we have an option there of changing that either through staff's initiative or recommendations to the Recreation Parks Commission. So maybe if that helps you out, that these aren't necessarily the rules that are going to be set in stone, that they'll be in review at the staff level, and anything that may be controversial would certainly go to a more public forum at the Recreation Parks Commission. And it certainly would be done at the two-year review.
Okay. With that in mind, I think that you'll take into consideration our conversation here with regard to vehicular traffic.
Yes, the traffic flow, generally when we advertise for parks, we don't suggest a route of travel, but the destination. So Del Mar Park would be advertised as, this is Del Mar Park, this is what it consists of, and these are some parking locations into more of the horizon and the coastline and so forth. So there are some fencing options, and chain link may be the best, but it may be not the most suitable, and we were kind of directed to looking into some alternatives. Okay. So we were definitely not opposed to that. If it comes back to the chain link is the best option and price, then that's probably what we'll go with.
That would be my concern, that price be the issue. And all the dog parks I've been to have all been chain link. So for whatever that's worth.
And there are a few in the North County that have popped up that have a little bit more open fencing. That's more of a 3 or 4 inch square with wire fencing. And that's something we'd look into, without a doubt.
Okay. And will that final, just for information, be that final decision on fencing be made by you or the Rec and Park Commission or staff?
I would say if it's substantially different than a chain link fence, something completely different, a block wall, it would have to come back here.
Okay.
Otherwise, if it's in substantial conformance with something like a chain link fence, then Parks and Recreation Commission, Parks Director can approve that.
Okay. Very good. Well, it sounds like we're about done with this item. I think the only real change we want to add to it is the hours. I think we felt pretty strongly to start at 8 o'clock. And with that, if anyone would like to make a motion.
I have a question. Are they just looking for on this approval of conditionally approving A, B, and C, though? Is that all they're looking for on this?
Yes, we need to approve all three of those, do we not?
Is that all they're looking for is what I'm asking? He said in yes. Item 11 that they had the time and all that factored in already.
Well, they will be discussing that as posted rules, but I think that we felt fairly strongly about the hours, and we may want to make that as part of our motion.
Thank you.
Mr. Grantham, Shirley.
Make a motion that we conditionally approve the project by adopting the findings included in Exhibit A. And approving the amendment to the Park and Facilities Master Plan, as shown in Exhibit B, and approving the Coastal Development Permit and Special Use Permit, subject to the conditions included as Exhibit C, and the Site Development Plans in Exhibit D, with further discussion regarding times of operation.
Could we maybe say that it start no earlier than 8 o'clock?
I would do that.
Okay. Second. Thank you. Ms. Borchardt, second. And are we good with their motion? Okay. Any more discussion? Then we're ready to vote. All in favor say yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? No. It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
I know you have a very busy agenda, but I just would like to thank the council. Also like to thank staff very much, and also particularly Joe Woods, who has worked a lot with our Morro Bay Pups board member, Steve Eckers, to get us to where we are today. I also like to thank the other members of the Morro Bay Pups board, Anita Ayub, Joe Hoflick, and Nada Simpson. Would you wave your hands or stand up? It's been a team effort. It really has, and it's been a team effort with the city, which we are very proud. And I'd also like to, Steve mentioned this, but really huge thank you. In fact, I feel like saying Yahoo! You know, we've gotten this far, but I really would like to say the Yahoo for the Giannini family. They just really have given us an awesome gift, and we are very proud as an organization to have this park named the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park. Doesn't that have a really welcoming, warm sound? Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll move on to item B2. Which is hearing to consider public testimony regarding the establishment of the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District and levy of assessments.
Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz, for taking over.
This item continues the process to establish the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District by asking the council to take public testimony regarding the intention to form a district and levy assessments within the city's jurisdiction. The purpose of today's public meeting is to receive oral and written protest by the owners of lodging businesses within the city's jurisdiction. If there is a written protest from owners of lodging businesses within the city's jurisdiction that pay 50% or more of the proposed assessment, no further proceedings may be taken for a period of 1 year. If there is no such majority protest, the formation process will continue to the public hearing on April 13, 2009, to consider the ordinance establishing the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. A second and final reading would be held on April 27th. Attached to your staff report is the draft ordinance.
Good evening, Council. Thank you for taking my comment. Hoping you're not sick of me yet. Been up here quite a bit lately. Joan Solu from Morro Bay. I own the Days Inn. And I am part of the push for a Morro Bay TBID. A couple of weeks ago, we gave the BID bylaws to staff, and we just were requesting that we would like to put ourselves ahead of the game in regards to the appointment of our advisory board. We know that there have been sister cities out there in this county who have not moved forward with an advisory board until they actually began collections, and that has put them kind of off balance as to the way that they function, creating a budget and a marketing plan. So we would like to move forward as quickly as possible with the formation of our advisory board regarding the way that we put it forward to you so that it can go to vote for the hoteliers, and also having the city suggest the two people that would come off of the Morro Bay Promotions Committee to come forward and join us so that we have a unique opportunity to work together with them. So we would like, as soon as possible, to have those people presented from the city and also to be able to present our candidates to the city. So if you could look at that, that would be wonderful. And in addition, the second thing I'd like to speak to you is I'm sure that you are aware that there is an area in the ordinance for an administrative fee. At this time, no fee has been designated in the ordinance. And we'd just like to state that the other cities that have not designated a fee in the ordinance are not charging a fee because they feel that they are working in partnership with the hoteliers and that they're going into a business partnership with the hoteliers, and that's why there is no fee listed, because they are not charging a fee. We, for our purposes of creating a budget and a marketing plan, really need to have all the information possible. So if there is going to be a fee, we ask that it be stated exactly, directly, what that fee is in the ordinance, and that if you're not going to charge a fee, and that's the reason that it's not listed in there, that you publicly say that, so we have your public guarantee, so that we know that we're working with you in partnership. And we really appreciate you bringing this back and fast-tracking it and looking it over and taking our comment this evening, and I hope that you continue to support the Morro Bay TBID so that we can continue to have TOT come in. As you know, TOT is down 9% from December to, from July to January. The TOT collection has been down 9% on your receipts, and we are going to do everything that we can possible to get that back up for all of us. So thank you very much for taking my comment.
Good evening, council members. I'm Johnny Biagini, speaking on behalf of the Steering Committee for the Business Improvement District here in Morro Bay, and I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to speak, since it's here. So I really wanted to thank you and thank staff for expediting this whole process. As you know, Morro Bay really needs this extra push, and we are really working well with staff to get this going, and we really appreciate all that they're doing to work with us to get this on the fast track. And I echo everything that Joan just said. The advisory board, if we can get that seated and designated by, say, May 1, then we can get going and make decisions on how to go forward with the marketing plan and budgeting and those kinds of things and get ready the minute that shoe drops that it is approved. And secondly, certainly on the administrative fee, we need to know in terms of budgeting if there is going to be a fee. If not, great, we just need to know. Thank you very much.
Hi, good evening. I'm Harold Biagini, Embarcadero Inn. I was going to say everything that Joan and Johnny said, so I'm not going to take any more of your time, except that I second it all and am with them in everything they said. Thank you, Council.
Hi, I'm Mike Gasol. I'm representing the Inn at Morro Bay. I just wanted to thank you for voting in the BID. Our sales have been down about 20% since that July date, and it's been hard to keep staff, and we appreciate all the efforts, and I hope we can show a good return for the city. Thank you.
Administrative we would charge for collecting that money and passing it on. That's not going to be the case now. You will be collecting the money, holding the money, and distributing that money through the advisory body. So there is no administrative fee that needs to be passed on. You'll be in charge of the budget, though, and you'll be able to have line items for, say, a publication of the ordinance each year. That's $150, $175. So you will be in charge of the budget and approve that budget each July with any of those costs that have to be passed on to this this advisory body, same as you do for cloisters. A perfect example is the Cloisters Assessment District has a budget every year that you approve for $142,000, and it has all the items on there, including publication of the ordinance and any other items. So this will be your budget. As with the county, it's not your budget. It was just a simple pass-through. So if you put a administrative fee on top of the budget items, I don't believe that's proper, and that's why the other cities have not done it, because they're in charge of their own budget and will determine the line items that are necessary. But all of the line items in that budget have to be for the specific purpose of promoting the tourism.
So that would be set up the same as the other advisory bodies?
Well, that's a separate issue. How this advisory body will be set up is the separate issue, but there is really no pass-through because you are in charge. It's your budget, and it doesn't get passed on to another governmental agency. You're not passing through any money here. The money remains in the city's budget and will be distributed per the line items in your budget that you approve each July.
Okay. And then my next question is about the advisory body. The suggestion or comment was made about someone being appointed from the promotions committee just now by one of the speakers, but yet I don't see that language in your...
They would come forth in your bylaws. The way I've written it is gives you much more latitude to change. This is, to me, going to be somewhat of a work in progress, and how it works with your current promotions committee, does it assume it? Are they going to remain two separate advisory bodies? Is still open to opinion, and I think you're not going to be able to determine that until you see over the years or year how they work together and whether they should be assumed into one. So the way I've written it and the way other cities have written it says that you have to appoint your advisory body, but that you will determine the allocation of the people and what they represent will be in the bylaws, so that you have much more flexibility to change your bylaws by resolution as opposed to by ordinance, which has to be by first and second reading. So the process, what will occur from today, is you'll have your first reading at your next meeting, and then in the second meeting in April, I will be bringing you the draft bylaws to you, and then you will be approving them at your second meeting in April or your first meeting in May. You will be appointing people shortly thereafter. In May, we would have to have that appointment meeting, whether that's done by interviews or by vote. And it's still my goal, as the speaker said, is to have this advisory body up and running and have the ability for them to meet with bylaws that you've approved as of June 1st, which is the first date that'll be collecting. They won't see money until July, but at least they'll know by June 1st exactly who the people are on the body and what their bylaws are. And then they would also, we'd have to at least start with a budget for this group, will be approved in your July budget of this coming year for fiscal year. Did I explain that well enough?
Yeah, but so then my next question is, does the member at large have to come from the promotions committee?
That's going to be your decision in the bylaws. I will try my best to draft up, meeting with the stakeholders and coming to resolutions and drafting it up. But the ultimate makeup of this advisory body and whether they're voted on by their members or not voted on by their members is completely up to the city council. The makeup of it is your decision on how you want to do that.
The slate of people presented in this... Was this brought to you by that?
Yes.
This group.
Yes.
This
yes.
Was not something that
no.
you came up with. They
no.
came up with it.
Correct.
So, I guess I should have asked them. Was this submitted to all the hoteliers? Because I
didn't know. I don't know that yet. I think we're getting just a little bit ahead.
I mean,
because the ordinance, the way I've written it, gives you the leeway that you haven't agreed on that or anything. I think the way they'd like to do it. Which I'd like to find out more about it and get into that once we know that we're not going to have the protests. I kind of take those small steps. And the way they've kind of arranged it, as I understand it, would be the same way the Slow Downtown Association's bid does theirs. They have an election. Slate comes forward. They do an election, and that election is then forward to the city council for approval.
And found out who would be willing to come up, come to the plate, do all the work, who was interested. But... leaving a spot in each one of those categories if there's somebody out there who would really like to be on this advisory board.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Smekler, questions or comments?
Thank you. I actually did have a conversation with Ms. Biagini earlier today and was happy to hear that she's comfortable with the process as outlined by Mr. Schultz and that the information provided in the back of this is more of a sample of the direction that it seems like they would like us to go, and that tonight they're not asking us to approve this concept, and that they agree that for us to have this discussion along with the bylaws is most appropriate. So I was glad to hear that, and I'm also glad to hear that there's going to be a stakeholders meeting with Mr. Schultz and the group to draft these bylaws for us to review at the next meeting. So I'm comfortable with that. And I am interested to hear from Mr. Schultz about what you think would be the possibility of expediting the appointment of this advisory body. June, I know, is pretty close to May, and it seems like it's appropriate, but also at the same time, I know the group's anxious to get moving with the development of this information and marketing plan. So is there any room in there for us to...
Yeah, I think so. If I can get on it and get you back bylaws by your next meeting, that'll speed it up 2 more weeks. And, you know, maybe the bylaws are fine right away. It just depends how much work they need and what's on our agenda for April, the first meeting in April. So, you know, we'll certainly try and get it back at your next one. If not, then for certainly on the second meeting in April. And if they're, you know, I'll bring them for approval, but it just doesn't always happen. But let's try to shoot for as early as possible so we've got more time to schedule the appointment and everything.
But would you anticipate that would be a special meeting?
The appointments, not necessarily. I mean, if it's done by the election the way the stakeholders would like it, then the election would go out and it would just be at a regular meeting for your consent item for the approval of those members. But I'll have to look at it. You know, but, you know, if we need to schedule a special one in May, we will. But, my goal, and I don't see any reason why we couldn't by June 1st. And like I said, the fiscal year doesn't begin till July 1st. But
okay,
we'll be up and running by then.
All right. And then along the lines of the administrative fee conversation, do you or does the council or yourself feel like it would be important to actually highlight that what you've described there within this ordinance, so it's clear as it proceeds that there will not be an administrative fee charge, but it'll be a line item type of a fee that the city will use
sure.
to recoup its
I
costs?
I mean, I could put in extra language in there. I mean, I just don't see the need to charge an administrative fee.
That's understandable. I just know that there might be some concern that we're leaving it kind of up in the air and things could be interpreted loosely down the road potentially.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Grantham?
Yeah, I have a question for Susan. So is it your opinion that the amount of staff time to complete these transactions don't necessitate or merit any administrative fee?
Thank you. Good evening, Vice Mayor Winholtz and council members. No, I think that the amount of staff time would be negligible in this situation. I don't think it's a matter of receiving the transient occupancy tax. You would most likely have two separate returns that would come in, one for the normal transient occupancy tax and one for the other, and then we would be separating them out. I don't see it as seriously impacting staff.
That alone does it. I mean, you do have staff, but it, you'll have another advisory body. You'll have a staff person that'll have to be the staff liaison person. You'll have to have a secretary there to do those minutes of the meetings. I mean, that's separate and apart from just the collection of that, like a TOT part of it. But there's other, and like I said, the publication of the ordinance is one thing that I can see that happens. There might be other ones that I don't know of, the paper or whatever. But you'll have those line item budgets like you've got a promotion. So that's different and apart than just the admin time, because the reason why the county has that is it's impossible to track how much time it takes to collect those envelopes, and we don't plan on charging that amount. But if there's other ones that need to be charged to this budget each year, then that's going to be up to council.
you.
Okay. I had just a couple of items in terms of text, and these may be minor on page 2 in item number F. I just want to note that that the principal would be the word or after the word principal right above the...
And you see that this is working and you want to fund some general fund money. I can work on the language to make sure it's not a must, you know, and so that you have that out in the ordinance that if in fact there isn't the ability to fund any city funds, you would need to. But I think that was the thought process, was there was only going to be one promotions board and therefore there would be some general funds used. And Johnny can correct me if I'm wrong.
Ms. Biagini, do you want to add anything?
Thank you very much. Actually, that's exactly correct. We didn't want to exclude any funding mechanisms. That's why the voluntary contributions would be added to that. And if, for some reason, there were some general funds either coming from promotions committee or from a very generous council somewhere down the line, that they could all be used for this one purpose of tourism promotion. So it's not a must, certainly, as city attorney has said, but if it does come to fruition, we want to be able to put it all into one pile.
Then, Mr. Schultz, if we take it out, does that exclude money coming to them?
Why don't instead I just use alternative language and bring that back for our first reading that says that it can be used but isn't a shall. I think I can satisfy our concerns and still make certain that a later city council said they can't put any money in.
Mr. Grantham, any comment about that? Yeah, I'm pretty aligned here as well, that we're real serious about not shooting any general fund money that way. But we don't know how far, since it is an ordinance, we need to provide for the future. But maybe that's an amendment that could be made later also. So I guess you hear our comments.
Yeah, okay. I'll definitely bring back a change to that. And I would say my other change that you'll see in the next one is I want to clear up some of the language as operator and make certain we've got the correct definition of operator. It's a little confusing as who the operator would be and who would be the voting person. So when I was reading that over with a vice mayor, I think we need to clean that up. So I'll make some changes on that one. But that's the only changes I see.
Okay. So what we need is a motion to move forward with the draft.
Let me do.
And if there's any other comment or discussion, then Mr. Grantham is ready to do that.
I'd like to direct staff to bring forth the draft ordinance establishing the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District for the first reading and introduction at our April 13th, 2009 council meeting.
Thank you.
And seconds.
Thank you. Before we vote, Mr. Smuckler, you mentioned there was one other comment you wanted to make. Was that already covered, or do we need to?
It was just
covered. Okay, great. So are we ready to vote? All in favor say yes.
Aye.
All against? So it passed unanimously. I'm using the wrong language, aren't I? and then I would just like to say for the public to remind hoteliers and bed and breakfast owners that this affects, that you need to put in your written or oral protests by April 13th, which is 2009, which is about 3-4 weeks away, and that if you do it in written comment, that it can be sent to our city clerk, Ms. Bauer, at City Hall, and she is the appropriate person. And if you have questions, I would assume that either the city manager or the city attorney could answer those for you. So for those people that will be voting on this, April 13th is your deadline. Okay, we'll be moving on to item B3, or do we need to take a 5-minute break? Take 5? Okay, thank you. We'll readjourn at 4:15. Thank you very much. We're coming back after our second break, the city council meeting on April 23rd. We're ready for item B3. Did I say March or April? Oh, sorry. I guess I want it to be April. This is March 23rd, and we're ready for item B3. It's the adoption of an ordinance to amend business licenses and regulations regarding delivery vehicles in the city of Morro Bay. And I believe, Ms. Slayton, are you taking this one? Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Vice Mayor Wynn-Holtz and Council. The item before you is the introduction and first reading of Ordinance 544, amending Title V, Business Licenses and Regulations, Chapters 5.04 and 5.08 regarding delivery vehicles. Please note that the subject line of the agenda item
out of city and even out of county people that deliver here. I guess my biggest concern, which I hadn't realized in the past when I voted for this, was that there is a lot of street usage being happened by the larger vehicles in particular, was my concern. And just like the garbage trucks pay us for road usage, to what extent should we or should we not charge companies that regularly come into town to deliver? At the same time, I think the point was made by businesses that they can't afford for us to be charging the Napa guy who drops in car parts every day with his small vehicle, and that becomes a burden for them and then pass on fee to their customers. And that, I think, is the reason why we chose to amend this ordinance. So with that, if there's any comment.
I'd like to comment, please, if I may, Madam Mayor Pro Tem. I was not on the council at the time this came up, but I was here that evening, and there was one gentleman that spoke to this issue that prompted this, as I recall. And although I am sympathetic to the plight of it, at looking at this list of people who have business license that come into the community and bring goods and services in, looking at this list, I realized that there's probably at least another dozen vendors that deliver to my business that are not even included in there, that aren't paying. Some of these vendors that are on this list and that come to my business are in this town 6 days a week with their large vehicles. They do utilize our city services. They have large vehicles that do tear up our streets, which, as we well know, we have lots of potholes. They use our services while they're in town. Their vehicles have signs on them that are advertising their businesses while they're here. They use any of the facilities we have while they're here. And when the fuel prices were high, they charged all of us merchants that were in the hospitality industry fuel charges. So for some of us, when they came out and made 20 or 30 deliveries a day, 6 days a week, we paid anywhere from $4 or $5 per stop. So they're recouping their expenses there in our city, and I don't feel, I feel bad for the ones who maybe come out once or twice a week, but for a lot of these deliveries, they're here 6 days a week, 5 days a week, every week, 52 weeks out of the year in the city, and losing $5,000, you know, for somebody who's using our services just doesn't seem like a good thing for us to do right now. So.
Thank you, Mr. Smuckler.
And actually, I'm in a similar space as Carla at this point. I did attend the meeting where this was discussed, and I understand those concerns, but I agree completely with what Carla has just laid out.
Mr. Grantham?
Well, I brought this item up back in October because of concerns of some of our small business owners, and I'll just take an example of Shorty's Auto. And Tony, who is Shorty, when he needs car parts, there are some places that he used in the past that now will not deliver because of the fact that they have to get business licenses to deliver a part. So when he is able to find somebody that does, of course, they have to get the license, and then they, of course, make up the money by charging him more, and he has to pass on that to the Morro Bay consumer who is going to pay more for car repairs. And I'm just taking that one example. So I was looking, you know, to give the Morro Bay consumer a little bit of a break here because those costs are passed on to them. So that was the motivation behind it, and I still support it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if there's some way to resolve our turmoil here, Ms. Slayton or anyone on staff. We're concerned about road usage, that we don't want to hurt the small businessman. Is there a way we can do this by size or not, or is it just too cumbersome?
Mr. Schultz? Probably too cumbersome. We certainly could look into it if you really have the energy for it. I guess I would just mention our business license fee is a flat fee. It's not based on, you know, many cities do it based on what your gross is, receipts, or your net income of that type of thing. Our business license is $115, so it's not, although any amount is being passed on, is still a pass on. $115 per year is not a tremendous amount of funds for a business owner to pass on if he does that many deliveries in the city. So it depends if you have the energy for it. We could look into it and where you could limit it. You could, you know, since we don't do it based on gross or net, you know, that's the thing, is we couldn't base it on that because we don't require that information. Like many cities require you to actually produce your tax returns or sign a very.
And where we draw the line, what limits are there? You know, if we're going to not charge the delivery people, then should we look at somebody who comes in and goes down to the Otter Rock on the weekend and is a DJ one day a week, every other month or something, or a musician who comes into town because they have to have a business license here also, and they're not using any of our roads or anything else yet. They still have to have a business license. So it's not, would be no no less fair to them then. So where do we draw the line at what we waive? And I do sympathize. I'm a small business owner too. I have one business. I have to pass this on to my customers, and it's not easy. Try raising a cup of coffee 5 cents. Every customer knows you raised it 5 cents. Yet when I get a fuel charge from four different companies in 1 week, I have to absorb that $5 times four or five times. That's $20, $25. That's $100 a month tacked on to the bottom line when the fuel prices go up. And when you raise something 5 cents in a restaurant, they know it. So it is difficult, but I think that it just becomes endless in the weekend art in the park vendors, all these people who pay use fees and permit fees and license, business license fees. So as the city attorney said, it's I think he said $115. So it's the cost of doing business.
Okay. Any other comments? Does anyone want to make a motion? Excuse me. Yes.
You need to open up to the public. Although there are no public speakers, you still need to open it up.
Thank you very much. I'll open it up to the public comment. And seeing none, I'll bring it back to council. Thank you. Are we ready for a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Mm-hmm.
I would move that at this time we deny reducing or taking away the business license fees and leave the ordinance as is for delivery vehicles in the city of Morro Bay with no changes.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? I think we're going to go down here, Rick.
I'm going down.
Okay. All in favor of the leaving the ordinance as is would say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Not?
I'm against the motion.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We'll move on to item B4.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Winholtz. Mm-hmm. This item is the introduction and first reading of Ordinance 545, amending Title V, Business Licenses and Regulations, Chapter 5.04, regarding duration of license and fee payment prorating. This item is the result of the October 27th agenda item related to the changing of the start date of each business license to coincide with the start date of the business. The idea was that this would smooth out the workflow and it would eliminate the annual crush of business license renewals. Council voted unanimously to approve this change. The ordinance, if adopted, will be changed to reflect today's date and the appropriate council members in the introduced section of the ordinance. Also, please note the word exempt will be removed from the second whereas statement of the ordinance. And that completes my presentation, Vice Mayor Winholtz.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any questions on council for staff? Seeing none, we'll open it up to public comment. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to council for further comments. Mr. Grantham?
No, I'm all for this. I think it's a great idea. It'll be. It seems a fairer way to go about it. So I'm all for that.
Certainly gets rid of the prorating aspect and makes your job easier that way. Mr. Smuckler and Ms. Borchardt?
I'm comfortable with it.
And we're good. So we're ready for a vote if someone would like to make a motion.
I'll move that we adopt ordinance number 545, amending Title V, Business License and Regulations, Chapter 5.04, regarding duration of license and fee pay prorating.
Second.
Thank you. No further discussion. So all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? So it passes.
Do we have a second on it? Okay. I didn't hear it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. And Ms. Lukard will, at this point, read something for us.
Thank you. I'm reading ordinance by number and title only. This is ordinance number 545, an ordinance of the City of Morro Bay to amend Title V, Business Licenses and Regulations, Chapter 5.04, Section 5.04.160, Duration of License in Section 5.04.26, and the recommendation from staff. I will preface that by saying that we try to provide consistency. As you might, as you probably know, we have a Commission Board Advisory Board Handbook, and we'd like to update that handbook, and it's certainly important in staff's opinion to make sure that we're consistent across the board with our advisory boards. So the three recommendations that we're providing you this evening is that we would like you to add the following section to the Harbor Advisory Board, Recreation and Parks Commission, Community Promotions Committee, and Public Works Advisory Board. Notification on canceling of meetings. And basically, this is a new section. Currently, the cancellation of board and commission's meetings follow the council procedures, which it must be noticed at a meeting prior to the meeting, it must be noticed at a regular meeting in order to cancel a following meeting. So we're asking you to adopt this language, cancellation of meetings. In a situation where there are no time-sensitive agenda items, department staff may cancel the meeting after contacting and having consensus from the chair or vice chair at least 1 week prior to the meeting date. Once the meeting has been canceled, the remaining board commission members will be contacted as well as the meeting cancellations noticed. We also are asking you to provide some clarity on the qualifications for the Community Promotions Board members. There are two areas in their bylaws that talk about their qualifications. One says that all the individuals need to be qualified electors of the City of Morro Bay. The other specifies that there's categories where four of the seven only need to be qualified electors. We certainly want to be consistent, and we're asking that you add under the qualifications sections of only the Community Promotion Committee, the italicized wording, four of the seven members of the community promotions must be residents, so on and so forth. And then the last recommendation that we have is something that your Harbor Advisory Board brought up, and it concerns absence from meetings. And basically, the Harbor Advisory Board requested, and we're in turn requesting that you add it to all the boards and commissions section, that at the end of the absence from meeting sections, you add the following: at the department director's discretion, in consultation with the chair and vice chair, an absence may be excused and not count against the board member. And that goes in relation to how many meetings a council or a board or commission member may be able to miss. That concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. I'll only entertain questions. Are there questions? Then I'd like... Go ahead, Ms. Borchardt.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I'd like to ask the city manager about the absences. Why are they asking for a change when it's about the three consecutive missed meetings? I would be concerned about a change in that.
It was just an item that the Harbor Advisory Board felt strongly with, and without changing one board and not changing the others, we're recommending the change across the board, but they felt strongly with that having the director's discretion with unexcused absences. I wasn't. I've got the meeting minutes from the meetings. I wasn't attending all the meetings, so I might get my information from the minutes. I'm going to take the liberty of speaking first on this because I feel fairly strongly on all three of these items. Concerning the one that's probably least controversial because it's really not a change is the middle one regarding the qualifications for the committee promotions committee. It's just a restatement of what currently is, and it's just clearer. It says in a positive form rather than in a negative statement. With regards to the item that Ms. Borchardt just raised about absenteeism, I would not want to do that. I think that we are already pretty generous with our absences. Many boards already don't meet once or twice a year because of holidays in December or maybe once in the summer. So we're talking maybe 10 meetings a year, and we allow them three misses. And I guess I'd like to keep that discretionary about whether those are permitted or not with the boards themselves rather than with the chair and a department head. Keep that with the whole committee. And then my other opinion would be in terms of canceling the meetings, and this is a philosophical statement, and that is I don't believe that our boards are here just to do business, but they should be doing visioning and other kinds of discussions. So if there is not something specifically from staff or from council for them to do, then they need to be generating ideas and having their own discussions. Now, that may last 30 minutes or 60 minutes as opposed to 2 hours, and that's fine, but I think they are there to do another kind of job besides just looking at legislation.
I would piggyback on your last comment about the cancellation of meetings because I think there is room for us to utilize the boards more potentially, and what I'd want to shy away from is doing something that moved us more towards less utilization of these boards, and I think that would start to do that. I know from the experience on the Public Works Advisory Board, there are certainly times where there isn't a clear direction from the board itself as to visioning needs, and also from.
I would agree with you, Councilmember Wenholtz, on leaving it as is on the absences. I think that three is a lot to miss in consecutive meetings in a row. And that the whole board should be able to have a say in that. And I also support the change in language on the qualifications. I do differ on the cancellation of the meetings. Not that I'm looking for them to cancel the meetings by any means, but with respect to the fact that I know sometimes there is not items that they have on the agenda of things, and I hate to see when they come set up for the meeting, when they're televising it, and then they're here for 15, 20 minutes, and we're having to pay, and I'm hoping that maybe in the future we can get away from that cost of, I'm sure there's probably a two-hour minimum or whatever we have to pay. The city has to pay for that, and if it's something that's not of necessity, I wouldn't be opposed if the chair and vice chair are willing of that committee to postpone to the next meeting, so I would support that.
Mr. Grantham?
Question for Bridget. On the application forms for all the boards, I think there is a spot for if you're a registered voter or not, because all these, okay, that's what I thought. The only thing is, like Harbor Advisory and maybe one or two of the other boards could possibly have simultaneous meetings where somebody has to go to another meeting. So it'd be nice to have some flexibility, maybe the wording in that, massage it a little bit, so they're not penalized in any way.
Certainly an excused absence would be permissible.
Yeah.
I think we allow for that currently.
Okay.
So this would just be unexcused. Okay. So let's talk or let's vote on these separately. I think that's probably the way to go on this. Why don't we take the first one first? It's the cancellation of meetings. So the motion would be I guess as is written, is that right, Ms. Luker, in the situation where it would just be that paragraph would be the motion?
That's a motion to change the current language, you're correct.
Okay. So is there anyone that wants to make the motion to change it for cancellations, or if no one makes a motion, it'll stay as is?
I
Okay, then that one dies. The qualifications for membership on the Community Promotions Committee. Shall someone make a motion that we just change the language so it's clearer?
I move to amend the, is it this for all the committees, the language for all the committees?
I'm thinking it would just be the red language in the middle there.
For the 7 members of the Community Promotions?
Mm-hmm. That we would add that language?
Must be residents. Mm-hmm. And register voters.
Because it's currently that way, but it's kind of stated in reverse that Wait. 3 members can be from other places, and this affirms that 4 members will be from the city.
I move to amend the Community Promotions Qualifications section.
Thank you. And a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Passed unanimously. The final item then would be in terms of excused absences or who can make those decisions. Does anyone want to move that, or should we let it stay as is? Okay, that one will die also. Thank you. Thank you for the work on those. I believe it's time for future agenda items. Mr. Grantham, would you have any? Not today. Mr. Smuckler?
Yeah, I have 2. I've consulted with staff on both of these. One is for us to bring back the local vendors section of the Morro Bay Municipal Code, which is section 3.08.100.E2, and consider the legality of strengthening, if possible, analysis of what other jurisdictions have implemented. And 3.08.100.E2, and that's the local vendors section. Preference to local vendors.
And what's the intent?
The intent would be to take a look at that, consider strengthening it if possible, to give us the ability to include potentially services and public contracts within that. Currently, purchasing is included, but it does not include services and public contracts. And for us to just, or actually Mr. Schultz, to take a look at what other communities may have done to address that issue to help us focus this
report and the approval in the minutes and where we are in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want the ability to make any motion?
And the potential to adjust if the current council is interested in making adjustments to the project. Whether that's the purchasing or the focus.
Okay. No questions? We're good with those two? Ms. Borchardt, any items? Okay. Okay. I have 3. They're fairly simple. 2 are letters. One has to do with the seismic retrofitting or report examination, further studies at the power plant for Mr. Blakesley's AB42. And I'd be glad to get a letter. If Mr. Weissman didn't drop one off today, I'll get one from him for that. And the second letter is regard to, and I know her name is Pearl Mance, I'm not sure, the lady that spoke about the SSI, and that I think the part that she actually had emailed me that she was coming, and the part that picked up for me in that was that it costs nothing to do that. And so it's just a matter of the state buying into it. So I would be glad to get a letter for that as well. And so she did not. She did not. But
did she just email us?
She did email us, and I bet we can get something from her for you. Is that what you would like? Okay. Okay. And if both those letters could be on the next agenda, I would appreciate it.
I missed it. Is there support for those letters? I'm sorry.
Yeah. For both letters, there's support, and we'll if we could have them on the next meeting. I think they're time sensitive. And then the last item is to actually form the committee that we said that we would have at our last meeting with regard to the fire budget and get a council member appointed to that as well as staff, and that we could do that at our next meeting as well.
Was that a fire budget?
No, it was regard to,
direction.
Yeah, where we're going to go from here. I don't think it was strictly budget related.
My recollection, and it could be wrong, certainly, was that we were going to be bringing you the fire report first prior to doing that.
I don't think that they were necessarily they were two different motions, and they didn't attach to each other. And so the committee formation, it can wait till that same meeting if you want, but they weren't.
Certainly understand. If the council desires
dependent on each
the
other.
Fire report will come back the second meeting in April.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was just preparing the formation of the committee that we said we wanted to form.
It might be nice to do them at the same meeting, but if the council set on doing it the 13th, certainly.
That's fine if you want to do them at the same time.
It will be a separate agenda item on the 27th for formation.
Okay, that'd be great.
And it would be nice if that happened following the report.
Okay. It's okay with everybody?
Are you okay with that? Can we agendize it for the 27th then?
Yes, and that would be fine.
Thank
it
you.
It just needs to start rolling, I think.
Okay, I agree.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, I think we're going to close without a quote tonight. Yes.
Let's. Yeah, I got a quote. Do you want that one?
I know we don't.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's see. This is by from a Morro Bay resident, Richard Stanich, and it is a vision without action is an hallucination.
Thank you very much, and we're adjourned.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.